Welcome to Career Tools. This week, decorating for the holidays. The questions this cast answers are, how far should I go in decorating for the holidays at work? When should I decorate for the holidays at work? And what kind of decorations should I do for the holidays at work?
If you're a director, you need roadmap. You need to be able to see whether or not your managers are rolling out one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and delegation. You can drill down with roadmap, if you've got it and your direct managers have it, to see how they're doing and what they're doing, and keep apprised of how they're doing such that you can talk to them about it. Hopefully, it'll be positive feedback. Check out roadmap.
We're going to put this out. It's going to be the beginning of December. So you might think that the holidays means Christmas or the winter holiday season. But actually, there's holidays all the way through the year that some people decorate for, some places decorate for, and some don't. Not only, you know, some places even decorate for Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day.
Football games.
Yeah, March Madness. Is that what the basketball thing is called? March Madness, right?
Yeah, I used to work with someone who had like Buckeyes football. Like, it's a college team, I think.
Some people love decorating for the holidays or decorating for an event, and they have their Christmas decorations out in like September. And at the other end of the scale are the people who don't decorate at all for the holidays, and people have different reasons for doing that. And they're all valid reasons. But what you do at home is entirely your choice. And what you do in the office sends messages about your dedication to what you're doing, your work, and also to whether or not you are part of a team or whether you want to be part of the team. And in this class, we're going to talk about what's an appropriate level of decorating so that you send a good message to the people around you and you don't accidentally fall into a trap that's caused by your excitement or lack of for the holidays. So what are we going to cover, Kate?
So we're going to cover three things today. You don't have to, but culture rules. Work, don't decorate, and be timely. So you don't have to decorate for a bunch of holidays. You don't have to decorate for Christmas or Halloween or 4th of July or anything, really, if you don't want to. You don't have to be a Buckeyes fan. despite the kind of like media we see, right? We see a lot of photos of cubes and they're all decorated for the main holidays and even more, I think, like places like Pinterest or Google or, gosh, I feel like you can just scroll through any social media and find pictures of cubes that are just dressed to the nines. Cubes don't dress, but
I found one where the cube had been made into a gingerbread house, like complete with a roof over the cube and everything. It kind of implies that everybody is doing this and they're going all out, which, of course, when you think about it, it's social media. You only see everybody else's highlight reel. Social media is not real life.
Right. Just because you see those pictures, it doesn't mean that everybody's doing it or that you have to follow that kind of calendar and decorate everything for the major and minor holidays. But, and this is a big but, culture rules. So we are not going to give you carte blanche to be curmudgeonly and cranky about it and not make any effort at all if the culture of your office is to make an effort around these kinds of things. So if the people in your office take a half day to decorate for one or maybe a bunch of the holidays, then you do want to make at least a little bit of effort. It's kind of like we're reciprocating a little bit. Mm-hmm. The amount of effort you put in needs to be close to or comparable to the amount of decoration that's going on in your office around you, right? That fits with the culture of decoration, if that's a thing, in your office.
Yeah, if everybody is going all out for Halloween and they have skeletons on their cubes and cobwebs and, you know, everything, then you might want to get a couple of pumpkins. If you're on the low decoration side, you might want to get some pumpkins or, you know, something you can have on your desk that shows that you're in with the crowd. Not in with the crowd. That makes it sound really kind of high schoolish. There is something high schoolish about work, and that's that you're around a bunch of people and you want to fit in, because the more you fit in, the better your relationships are going to be and the easier it is to work. Whatever you do for these holidays, and whatever the holiday is, this is not about your celebration of the holiday. It's about being a member of a team. It's about being part of a team. The decoration of offices is really not about religion or ethnicity or people's actual beliefs or the team you support. If the guy next to you is going for Buckeyes, you might want to take a little interest in whatever that sports team is and how they're doing. It's about being part of the world that you live in and a part of the team that you're working in. So another example is at a sporting event, any sporting event, I think the national anthem is played. And if it's two countries that are playing, then it's two different national anthems. And half of the audience, half of the people in a stadium aren't part of that country, right? They've come to see their country and an away game. But we all stand for both national anthems. And we're not saying, I'm standing for the French national anthem. I'm not saying I'm French. I'm not saying I support the French. I'm not saying that they're my team. I'm not saying, as a Brit, you know, we don't particularly like the French. They're quite close to us. So, you know, we have a friendly rivalry. But I would still stand for their national anthem because it's a sign of respect about something that is fundamentally important to them. In the same way that I would be upset if they didn't stand for God Save the Queen. It's a sign of respect that's about something that's fundamental to my sense of Englishness or Britishness. And it's a sign of respect for the place we're in and the people who are around us.
Yeah, maybe you're not a Halloween person, but you can put up some orange and white things, or maybe just fall things. Maybe you put up a leaf garland or something. There's so many different options out there nowadays, right? Like lately I've seen people switch up Christmas colors. So traditionally, right, the colors would be green and red. I saw this girl's house, it was decorated on Pinterest, and it was pink and blue and white. And it was beautiful, but it was like little trees and things, very thematic, but not traditional colors. And you could do that, right? You don't have to be this fan or that fan. You don't have to be engaged in Halloween. You know, maybe you don't eat candy or you don't believe in, you know, college football. Maybe you're an NFL fan, something like that. We're not saying that we're decorating in order to say, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, don't confuse decorating, which is for celebration, right? It's just for fun, with the really deep meaning of these events for which we're decorating, right? Don't say, if I do this, then it means X. No, it just means we're keeping with the theme of our office. We're paying attention to the culture around us and being involved, right? It always reminds me of like the neighbor at Christmas, and the whole neighborhood is really into lights. And every house is decked out. There used to be a neighborhood like this in my old community. And there was one neighborhood where some of the houses had those musical light shows. Well, there's one house on that block, no lights.
Completely dark.
Completely dark. And you know what everybody thought? Everybody thought nobody even lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Not, these people, it's like nobody's home. And so we want to be a part of the group around us in some way. It doesn't have to mean, I really like, what is that Christmas song? What's the one with the music that they always play? There's one that's like really popular, but
like Jingle Bells?
No, it's Mannheim Steamroller. It's like their big Christmas hit.
Oh, in that case, I have no chance.
There's one that's really, there's a lot of crescendos in it. It's beautiful, and that's the traditional one. We don't have to be that guy, right? You don't have to be the Mannheim Steamroller guy. You can be involved without going all out, without, you know, becoming Home Depot's best friend. So we're going to put some tinsel on our desk at Christmas, because it doesn't make us Christian any more than eating bagels makes you Jewish, right? It doesn't make you anything but just involved a little bit. And that's a good thing because we like to work with people we feel are similar to us, right? We like to work with people who we see as being like us. And if you don't want to decorate and then you don't, but your whole office goes full out, you're the guy on the block with no lights, right? You're saying, I'm not like you. And you're doing it on purpose. That's how they see it. Even if you just say, oh, you know, decorating isn't my thing. For you, that's just a passing thought maybe. But to the rest of the team, you're saying, yeah, no, I want to opt out. And it just makes other people feel like maybe you're not really invested in the team. We don't want to make you a clone. You know, maybe you only put up white lights. There's so many different kinds of lights. I feel like everybody has their own preference. Maybe you only put up white lights or you only buy like snowflake decorations because you're just going to do winter. But it'll be easier if you do a little bit, right? If you opt in some way. And you'll find it easier to work with the people around you when you act in a way that's similar to them, that makes sense to them. It's something so easy to do. Look around the office, look around the cubes around you, and look at their level of decoration, and then set your standard like somewhere in the middle. And it doesn't need to be expensive at all. Decorations from the dollar store will totally work. And actually, they have great decorations at all kinds of places. Your kids could make decorations.
Yeah, actually, your kids making decorations is a really good idea. Like a whole, you know, when you fold a piece of paper and then you cut out a person and they're all joined together. Like one of those that makes a garland of snowmen that was made by some child that you're related to would be awesome. And everybody would go, oh, you've got a homemade one. It was like you made an extra effort when all you did was fold some paper and show a child how to cut out a snowman. Yeah. That would be cool.
It's not hard, right?
No, it's not hard. And this is an extreme example of tailoring with DISC. So when we talk about DISC, we often talk about if you're talking to a high D, talk faster and louder and don't worry about interrupting. If you're talking to a high I, make sure you talk about the people that you're involved in. If you talk to a high S, you talk a little bit slower with more concern for the people's feelings. Maybe you're talking to a high C, you talk slower, but you talk about the detail and the tasks that need to be done. So this tailoring is not about being two-faced and about saying something that you don't believe in or you don't think about. All you're doing is making it easier to communicate with someone who thinks in a different way to you.
Yeah.
My parents have been staying for 3 weeks, and the number of times I have to jump in and say, no, she means this, or no, when she says that, or when they say that, this is what they mean, not what the words mean. And I, having lived here for a while, having lived in the US for a while, I do what is effective, right? There's a way. The thing I always remember is I really like a chocolate croissant at Starbucks, and the word is croissant. In French, the emphasis is in the beginning symbol. But if I say it that way, I never get what I want. So I say it in the American way and say croissant. And there's nothing about, you know, I know how the word is spelled. I know how it's pronounced in French. I know how it's pronounced in English. But if I do that, I don't get what I want. So it's not about being two-faced. It's just about getting the things you want. And one of the things you want is to be part of the team and for other people to feel like you're part of the team. And sometimes that means a little bit of tinsel.
Okay. So we've decided about our level of decoration based on our culture. And now we're going to talk about how to enact that. And we have two pieces of guidance, right? Work, don't decorate is the first.
So this is the other end of the spectrum.
Exactly. Too much decoration makes people think that maybe you're decorating and not working. And there's a difference between office decorations and your own decorations for your cube. If it falls on you to actually decorate the office because you're the admin or you're the person in charge or you're elected or you're the newest person or something like that, those are all common ways, by the way, guys, to decide who does the decorating. Then the office decorations are part of your job and you can take as long as necessary and use as many decorations as they've got stored or available. If it's not your job, if it doesn't fall upon you based on whatever criteria is used to actually decorate the office and you're just going to decorate your cube or your area, then you got to be a little bit careful. Even if you come in early one morning and stay late to decorate your cube, the people who pass your cube later, who walk past, they don't know that. And they'll assume that it took you hours to decorate and that during that time you weren't working.
Right. If you're the guy who makes your cube into a gingerbread man, then I would assume, one, you did a lot of thinking about it because there's some planning that goes into making it into a gingerbread cube. And you would have taken some time. If you're going to put a little thatched roof on your cube for your gingerbread house, then I'm thinking that's going to have taken some time and maybe more than one person to get it kind of balanced on the top of your cube.
Yeah.
And if you've got a big candy cane and it's kind of obviously painted, then that took you some time. And I'm going to add that up and think that's a beautiful professional level gingerbread house cube. But how much time did it take and when did you do that?
Right. So I mentioned my previous coworker who was a Buckeyes fan. She had an area in her office. We had pretty big offices and she had a table in her office of baked goods and candies and stuff. And it was always there. And it had a tablecloth that changed with the seasons. I worked with her for 5 years, never once saw her decorating. She always did it before work or after work. And it was just a tablecloth. So it wasn't, we're doing a lot of decorating. And of course, she's not baking in the office, but I never once saw her. And I was there all the time, in and out, early, late. And she just must have been really careful about it. And I remember thinking, wow, she's really conscious of the fact that, like, this is not part of her work week, right? Mm-hmm. You never saw her changing the tablecloth, like, during work hours. And in 5 years, I never saw that. I was always really impressed by that, actually, that I didn't see her doing that. Because I felt as if she was making a conscious decision to do it when she was in her own free time. And I've watched people decorate their cubes and they get serious. You're still at work. They're still paying for your time. You can't just run around putting on gingerbread roofs.
If you go for a whole gingerbread theme and you do your whole cube, I kind of assume that you do that for every single holiday, that you go that far for every single holiday. So not only am I assuming that you took some time during the workday and potentially some time from your colleague's workday to make a gingerbread house, but now I'm assuming also that you're going to do something for Valentine's and it's going to be just as big, right? And yeah. So it's not just that one day. Now it's a bunch of days spread throughout the year.
And it's not even your time, right? You mentioned
the
roof thing, but it also increases the amount of distractions you're going to see during the day. So it's not just the day of decorating. It's also the amount of people who stop by your cube and say, oh my gosh, I love your cube. Where'd you get that? Where did these decorations come from? Tell me about this.
How did you get that roof on?
Right? If you decorate in a way that makes you stand out, it really is speaks to the other people in the office and says, I want to talk about my cube. I want to talk about gingerbread. And so you're going to end up getting less done because people are going to stop by. They're going to interrupt you. Think about the person who decorates the most and the person who decorates the least. One of those people gets a bunch of interruptions. The other person, no one even talks to. We want to be in the middle. We don't need to be the person who can't get anything done because their gingerbread roof makes it really dark in their cube and they have to deal with everyone asking about how they engineered that. We have to be considerate of those things. And remember, your work is paying for your time. They're not paying you to decorate. So if you have a choice, we would probably err on the lesser side of that while still considering culture.
Right. If everybody is going all out, the person who's doing the least is probably going a long way compared with some other workplaces. So that kind of be in the middle of the person who does the most and the least is a good rule of thumb. We don't need to necessarily know what the specifics are of your office, but if we tell you to go in the middle, then you'll probably be about right.
Yeah, the middle's a good deal.
And the last piece of our guidance is be timely. So just because you love Christmas doesn't mean you can decorate your desk in Christmas trees and Santa Clauses in October. And I know all the stores have stuff in October. And if you're in a retail store and your job is to decorate in the retail store, go for it. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who work in offices or spaces where there's other people around who are also working. And we're talking about decorating the space, not the building.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is Nordstrom puts up a sign that says, "We love Christmas, but we're not decorating until after Thanksgiving." And it's so cool.
I like Nordstrom.
I do too. And I think a lot of people are frustrated with the holiday creep. It feels like it's getting earlier and earlier every year. Like, you know, I never understand why New Year's Eve gets like shorted. Because there's so much pretty stuff for New Year's Eve, right?
And they only have one night.
Yeah. The decorations are really pretty. And Christmas has creeped so far forward, but nothing else has really creeped that far forward. It's so weird to me. So we don't want to be involved in holiday creep. Yes. So just because you love Valentine's Day doesn't mean that you get all of February to celebrate. And we're not a humbug. We've just said we want you to meet in the middle. It's more really about the message that decorations send about your work. The message is that when you're decorating, you're not working, whether that's true or not. That's the message it sends. That's the tone it sets. So it doesn't matter how much you protest that you didn't miss any of your work. Assumptions are going to be made by people who have control over your future about how much decoration is involved.
Yeah, if the VP walks past and your cube is the only one that's dressed as a gingerbread house, the VP is going to be like, "Who is that guy and when don't they have enough work to do?"
Right? You have to really look at what's going on around you. Again, culture. As a rule of thumb, you really shouldn't decorate before the office gets decorated. Once the tree's up in the reception hall, you can decorate. And if that means that the office is decorated never, then you can't decorate either.
If they don't ever put the tree up, if the tree never goes up, then you never have the cue that says you can decorate for Christmas.
It's so funny. We're all for individuality. And we want you to have fun on your favorite holidays. We want you to be yourself at home and be your work self at work. There's lots of ways that we modify our behavior at work. We wear different clothes. We watch what we say and how we say it. We're more careful when we think about what we're doing and what actions we take and how it impacts others. It doesn't hurt us to be cognizant of these things. And it takes just a little bit of paying attention, just a little bit of investment in noticing the things around you and determining what might be appropriate and what's the right level of decoration or enthusiasm about the holidays, things like that. So just a little bit of paying attention.
Decorating your desk for the holidays sends messages to the people around you, to your boss and to your customers. And whilst we want you to have fun on your favorite holidays and we want everybody to share the things that makes a holiday special for them, there's certain holidays that I really like. Christmas isn't actually one of them, but I'm happy to share things that come from my British culture with Americans about Christmas. Like, I've introduced a lot of people to mincemeat pies and they all think they're awesome. And so I want to share that. And that makes me part of the team, you know, that sharing. Sarah, who's with us, who's Canadian, she shares what's nice about being Canadian at Christmas and so on. But we want to be careful about the messages we send. We don't have those conversations on our operations call, for example, when the whole team is together and we're supposed to be talking about making the business run and making sure we're serving our customers. We spend 30 minutes talking about mince pies. We've just wasted 9 people's 30 minutes, and that's a lot of money in a meeting. So we want to be careful about what we talk about and when we talk about it and the things that we do and the messages that we're sending. Too much and too little both send negative messages about your relationship to your work and your team. So watch what's going on. and choose a middle route. That's always the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Hi, everyone. That's all for this week. We'll see you next week.